News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Patikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A series of earthquakes jolted Assam and most of the northeast on Wednesday, causing extensive damage to buildings and forcing people to scamper out of their homes. There were no immediate reports of deaths, but three people were injured as the first quake of 6.4 magnitude struck Tezpur, the headquarters of Sonitpur district in Assam, at 7:51 a.m., officials said. The impact was felt in almost the entire northeastern region, parts of West Bengal, Bhutan and Bangladesh. The first quake was followed in quick succession by lesser intensity tremors of 4.7, 4 and 3.6 magnitudes at 8:03 a.m., 8:13 a.m., 8:25 a.m. and 8:44 a.m., Regional Meteorological Center Deputy Director Sanjay O'Neill Shaw said. Another earthquake of 3.2 magnitude hit Assam's Nagaon district at 10:05 a.m. A while later, another jolt of 3.4 magnitude hit Tezpur at 10:39 a.m. At 12:32 p.m., the eighth quake of 2.9 magnitude hit Marigaon. There were reports of extensive damage to buildings and other structures from across Assam, mostly in the central and western towns of Tezpur, Nagaon, Guwahati, Mangaldoi, Dhekiajuli and Morigaon. We have received reports of three people getting injured in the earthquake. However, there is no death. We are still collecting reports from different districts and assessing the total damage to the properties. It will take some more time, Assam State Disaster Management Authority CEO Gyanendra Tripathi told PTI. Several roads in the region developed wide cracks affecting traffic. Besides, in many areas, fissures were seen in fields with water oozing out, officials said. The National Center for Seismology said damage to buildings and structures was reported from areas within a 100-kilometer radius of the epicenter. In Guwahati, the Chief Minister's block at the Janata Bhavan complex, the state secretariat, witnessed some damage, sources said. The luxury Taj Vivanta Hotel in Guwahati also witnessed massive damage, with several glass panes, ceilings and walls falling apart. But there was no injury to any employees or guests, hotel spokesperson Indrani Phukan told PTI. Dozens of homes, apartment buildings, hospitals and shopping malls across the state also developed cracks. Many vehicles were damaged after concrete blocks fell on them due to the jolts. The preliminary analysis shows that the events are located near to Kopili Fault, closer to Himalayan Frontal Thrust, the NCS said in a report. The maximum temperature in parts of Delhi breached the 44 degrees Celsius mark on Wednesday, the highest this season so far, according to the India Meteorological Department data. The Safdarjung Observatory, which provides representative figures for the city, recorded a maximum of 42.2 degrees Celsius, 4 notches above normal. The minimum temperature settled at 22.3 degrees Celsius, 2 notches below normal. The mercury rose to 44.4 degrees Celsius in Najafgarh and Narela and 44 degrees Celsius in Mungeshpur, the Indian Meteorological Department said. The weatherman said partly cloudy weather, gusty winds and light rain is expected in the city on Saturday. The maximum temperature is expected to dip to 38 degrees Celsius by Sunday. Apollo 11 astronaut Michael Collins, who orbited the moon alone while Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin made their historic first steps on the lunar surface, died on Wednesday. He was 90. Collins died of cancer in Naples, Florida. Mike always faced the challenges of life with grace and humility, and faced this, his final challenge, in the same way, his family said in a statement. Collins was part of the three-man Apollo 11 crew that in 1969 effectively ended the space race between the United States and Russia, and fulfilled President John F. Kennedy's challenge to reach the moon by the end of the 1960s. Though he traveled some 238,000 miles to the moon and came within 69 miles, Collins never set foot on the lunar surface, like his crewmates Aldrin and Armstrong, who died in 2012. None of the men flew in space after the Apollo 11 mission. It is human nature to stretch, to go, to see, to understand, Collins said on the 10th anniversary of the moon landing in 1979. Exploration is not a choice, really. It is an imperative, and it is simply a matter of timing as to when the option is exercised. Collins was later the director of the National Air and Space Museum in Washington. Michael Collins wrote and helped tell the story of our nation's remarkable accomplishments in space, said President Joe Biden in a statement, noting that Collins demanded that everyone call him simply Mike. Collins spent the 8-day Apollo 11 mission piloting the command module. While Armstrong and Aldrin descended to the moon's surface in the lunar lander Eagle, Collins remained alone in the command module, Columbia. I guess you're about the only person around that doesn't have TV coverage of the scene, Mission Control radioed Collins after the landing. That's all right, I don't mind a bit, he responded. Collins was alone for nearly 28 hours before Armstrong and Aldrin finished their tasks on the moon's surface and lifted off in the lunar lander. Collins was responsible for redocking the two spacecraft before the men could begin heading back to Earth. Had something gone wrong and Aldrin and Armstrong been stuck on the moon's surface, a real fear, Collins would have returned to Earth alone. Though he was frequently asked if he regretted not landing on the moon, that was never an option for Collins, at least not on Apollo 11. Collins' specialty was as a command module pilot, a job he compared to being the base camp operator on a mountain climbing expedition. As a result, it meant he wasn't considered to take part in the July 20, 1969 landing. I know that I would be a liar or a fool if I said that I have the best of the three Apollo 11 seats, but I can say with truth and equanimity that I'm perfectly satisfied with the one I have, he wrote in his 1974 autobiography, Carrying the Fire. This venture has been structured for three men, and I consider my third to be as necessary as either of the other two. Aldrin, the remaining Apollo 11 astronaut, tweeted a picture on Wednesday of the three crewmates laughing, saying, Dear Mike, wherever you have been or will be, you will always have the fire to carry us deftly to new heights and to the future. A combined bowling performance aided by a slow half-century from David Warner and a clinical run chase led by 50s from Rituraj Gaikwad and Faf du Plessis helped CSK get to the top of the table with a 7-wicket win over Sunrisers Hyderabad at the Arun Jaitley Stadium on Thursday. Batting first, SRH posted 171 for 3, with Manish Pandey making 61 of 46 and Warner scoring 57 of 55. CSK chased it down in 18.3 overs, with Gaikwad making 75 of 44 and Du Plessis 56 of 38. At the halfway mark, Manish Pandey said SRH were about 9 to 10 runs short due to the conditions. It was soon evident that they were short by much more runs, as CSK made a mockery of the target. Rituraj Gaikwad and Faf du Plessis enjoyed the ball coming on to the bat nicely, playing their strokes without inhibition. They were hardly taking any risks, but raced to 50 for no loss in the power play. As always, SRH held back Rashid till the 8th over, but even he could not do much. Du Plessis reached his 50 of 32 balls. Gaikwad reached his in 36. CSK went past 100 in just 11 overs. Not even Rashid Khan was spared. Gaikwad hit him for 3 boundaries in an over and 4 overall. Rashid did have his revenge, finding Gaikwad's stumps with the batsman on 75 of 44. However, by then the equation was well in favour of CSK, 43 of 42. In his next over, Rashid created interest in the game by dismissing Moin Ali and Faf du Plessis of successive deliveries. However, CSK needed only 24 in 30 balls then. Suresh Raina and Ravindra Jadeja ensured no further hiccups. Kane Williamson's 10-ball 26 at the back end helped his side score 58 runs in the last 5 overs, as Sunrisers Hyderabad made 171 for 3 in 20. Williamson arrived with SRH needing a fillip, as CSK's brilliant fielding and tight bowling had restricted the Hyderabad franchise. After opener Johnny Bairstow was dismissed early, both skipper David Warner and number 3 Manish Pandey added 106 for the second wicket in 13.5 overs. While there was no fall of wickets, Warner struggled to get his shots going and couldn't increase the run rate. He fell for a 55-ball 57. His knock included two sixes and three fours. Pandey, who was included in the side after being benched in the previous game, looked more fluent as he hammered his way to a 46-ball 61 with five fours and one six. However, it was Williamson who turned it on. The New Zealand captain, who walked into bat at number four, took 19 runs of 20 overall off Shardul Thakur's final over, the innings 19th. Williamson hit 1-6 and 4-4s during his innings. Kedar Jadhav chipped in with 12 off 4 balls. For CSK, Lungyan Giri took 2 wickets for 35 and Sam Curran took 1 for 30. Right everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.